From WXXI News, this is the Summer of Food on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made at Red Robin, where you and your friends gathered for dinner, maybe. You're particularly excited about the order, an impossible burger. You've heard about the meatless patty from friends and on social media, and you're excited to finally try it. But there's one problem. They're out of the impossible burger at Red Robin. This is a story that could have been true at a number of restaurants across the country, a number of restaurants across Rochester. We've been calling around. We called over to the Genesee Brewery. They used to have the impossible burger for like a week. They don't now. So as I said, they didn't want to come on the show. They ignored the rule of PR that if someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes. No, that's the Ghostbusters line. If someone asks you to come on Connections, you say yes, but the Genesee Brewery said, nope, they don't have it. So many others don't have it. The popularity of the genetically engineered soy-based burger has skyrocketed. It's in such high demand that the California-based company that created it, called Impossible Foods, is ramping up production. A company spokesperson told the New York Times they did not think demand would spike this fast. The Impossible Burger and the Beyond Burger by the company Beyond Meat are just two of the plant-based, genetically engineered alternatives to red meat patties. And the burgers look, taste, and even bleed like real beef. The global market research company Mintel found that nearly 60% of U.S. consumers have expressed interest in eating less meat. Both Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat have stated that they want people to rethink their ideas of what meat is, notably that it doesn't have to come from animals. So why not get the burger experience without the health risks? Could meatless burgers be a solution to combating climate change by reducing animal agriculture? And oh, by the way, dietitians tell us they're not all that thrilled with the health aspects of these things anyway. But hey, let's talk about it. And listeners, if you've had one of these things, the Impossible Burger, Beyond Meat, or any of the other many meatless alternatives out there, let us know what you think. Brian Van Etten is the owner of the Playhouse and Swill Burger, where they've got an acclaimed veggie burger, but it's not an Impossible Burger. It's not a Beyond Burger. It's a veggie burger, right?
That's correct. It's not. When we opened the Playhouse and Swill Burger, just as much as the sourcing and the final product of the hamburger was going to be on our menu, we put about equal as much time and effort into developing our veggie burger. So it is not necessarily trying to mimic beef. Instead, it tries to develop flavors from vegetables and grains. So it's about a third part beets, brown rice, and black beans, sweetened with some raisins, and kind of filled out with a little rice flour just to bind it all together. But we tried to develop a flavor-forward patty, not necessarily trying to mimic anything, and it sells hot.
Yeah, I'm looking at Rob, our engineer through the glass, who's giving me thumbs up there. The whole floor of journalists here love that thing, or that thing, by the way, the veggie burger. Whereas over at ADW, the co-owner of ADW is Mark Seawick, who's with us in studio, and you had the Impossible Burger for a little while, is that right?
Oh my God, we had an Impossible Burger for a week and a half, just like you've experienced. Karen Lepuznik, who's our executive chef, she was at a trade show. They sold her on it. They're like, yes, we got this product. She tasted it, loved it. We thought we were going to just continue to have this throughout the season. A week and a half later, we had sold out, completely sold out of the product they had given to us. We can't get it any longer. So instead, we're serving the Beyond Burger.
All right. So we're going to talk in a moment about what Mark, what Brian think about these products. Brian was nice enough to go out and do a little research for us last night. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I went out and found a restaurant that did have the Impossible Burger. I found Lori's Natural Foods, which had the Beyond Patties. So I tried cooking the Beyond Patties at home, and I ate the restaurant version of the Impossible Burger. You want the results now or later?
Oh, in a minute here, because I want to bring in Chris Lidstrom as well. Chris is the founder and host of the podcast Food About Town, and he's on the line with us because he's out of town but has a lot to say on this subject. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Hey, Brian. Hey, Mark. How's everybody doing today?
Great. Thank you.
We're having a great day. Well, now, listen, I want to know how many of these you have tried, first of all, Chris.
So I've had the Impossible Burger probably a dozen times.
Okay.
I had a source that gave me some of the bulk patties. So I've messed around cooking with them at home a number of times, cooking them as burgers, cooking them in a pasta sauce, kind of just using them as you'd use ground meat. And I've seen varying levels of success, but I can say generally that I think the Impossible Burger is delicious. Can I guarantee that it's healthier than a beef burger. No, of course not. But I thought it tasted delightful. I actually did some research myself last night and went on and tried the Beyond Burger.
And?
I didn't like it quite as much. I thought the texture was a little sausage-like, while the Impossible Burger has more of that ground beef characteristic to it. I thought the Impossible Burger tasted significantly more like beef than
yeah.
the Beyond did.
Yeah, let me read. I want to. Have you had Beyond, Mark Seawick?
All right, so Beyond We Serve.
Okay.
And I have had the Impossible, and I have to agree. I mean, I think the Beyond tastes great, but the Impossible really does taste like you're biting into a patty. So both are good. One is just superb.
Okay, so let me read on Twitter. Jen writes the following. I have to start the hour with this review of Beyond. Jen says, I've tried Beyond at home. It exists in an uncanny valley of not exactly meat. Eyes closed, it totally tastes like beef, but very soft, like a super rare, almost raw burger. It looks uncooked and smells faintly like dog food. Dressed up like a burger, it's pretty good, though. That's the best review I've ever heard that included a faintly like dog food reference to someone who actually liked it. Chris Lidstrom, I'm going to start with you. Beyond is the inferior product to Impossible right now. Is that what you would say?
I would say based on the sampling that I've done, I would agree with that, yes.
Okay. That's what you think, Mark. I mean, not that you say you don't like Beyond. You wouldn't serve it, I'm sure, if you didn't like it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, and our guests, you know, our guests love it. I mean, I think they really, really enjoy it. We go through a lot of these. I think if we had Impossibles, if we had access to the product, we'd be that much. We'd be selling that many more.
Okay. And now you had both last night here. What did you think of Beyond?
So it wasn't a perfect comparison. The Impossible Burger was cooked at a chain restaurant, whereas the Beyond patty I made and cooked at home following temperature guidelines. I temped it right to 160 as it requested on the package. The Impossible Burger I have a vegetarian wife. We stopped at a chain restaurant that happened to have this. I bought two of them. I pulled one out of the package, took a bite to make sure, you know, because we're always worried. My wife's been the victim of getting meat when she didn't want meat many a time. So I took a bite, and honestly, I did a double take. But though the Impossible Burger to me compared decently to a beef burger, it was that of a pretty low quality beef burger, in my opinion. That said, I think it was overcooked. It was pretty shriveled up and dry. And I know a lot of these things you're supposed to, you know, have a very gentle hand with. The Beyond patty I cooked at home, like I said, I cooked it in a hot cast iron skillet, about 3 minutes per side, internal temp 160. And, you know, it had a faint smell of the grill. It had a faint nose of dog food, like one of your
there we go.
Had a nice dog food nose. But that said, it wasn't bad. It was decent. But tasting like beef, if you put both in front of me, it wouldn't take me an instant to tell you which was real and which was not.
Okay. So would you seek out either one of them again, Brian?
Probably not. I probably wouldn't seek them out because I feel like a lot of the clientele or the customer base or demographics that they're going after here are meat eaters, maybe trying to cut back on meat or, you know, trying to give vegetarians that meat experience. And I'm neither of those things. I want food that tastes great, and not that none of these tasted great, but I think you can find a veggie burger made with vegetables that has a different, it doesn't taste like beef, but it tastes damn good.
Okay.
And more often than not, you know, that's probably where I'm going to lean to. That said, if I'm at a barbecue and these things exist, I'll eat one happily. You know, I thought they did taste pretty damn good.
Okay. So I'm going to, before we get to some of your feedback, because the phone is blown up here, and if listeners, if you want to share your thoughts via email or phone call or social media platforms, we want to hear what you think about these various meatless meat options out there. But I want to ask all of you what you think about this sort of trend in demand here. Are you hearing more from more customers at ADW when they eat that they want something that's, you know, whether it's vegan, vegetarian.
Oh my God.
More than you expected when you, because ADW has only been open for how long now?
9 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
More than you expected when you opened?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, I'm a real estate guy. So, you know, I don't know the first thing about owning a restaurant. So everything is brand new to me. But over the course of the past 9 months, one of the things that we've heard, and I think that our demographics are very, very different. You're skewing toward probably a younger demographic, probably early 30s kind of thing. You know, and our demographic is, at least for dinners, it's going to be an older demographic. And you know, like myself, I'm 54 years old. I am actually looking for something that's a few calories less than a meat burger. And our clients are doing the same, and they're coming in and they're asking for vegetarian options, vegan options, and gluten-free. We're getting it constantly. We've had to revamp our menu on several occasions just to make sure that we're satisfying their needs.
What is the breakdown, Brian Van Etten, at Swill Burger, of how many veggie burgers you sell vis-a-vis others?
Great. I definitely spent time on this last night.
You did?
Exactly.
I didn't even know. I didn't
you.
Tee up
yeah,
that
yeah,
question.
Yeah,
good for you,
that.
Man. So what do you got?
Of course he did. So we're looking at roughly month to month, going back year to, you know, January 15 to January 16 or whatnot, the numbers are rising for vegetarian, the percentages. It's a slow increase, but right now we sell, I looked at one month, we sold 1,200 veggie burgers over the course of the month, close compared to 5,000 beef burgers. So you're at 20%-ish, over 20%.
Sure.
And I think it's around there. I think one out of every five or so diners is getting our veggie burger.
Yeah,
that's a very strong number. By the way, you're making a lot of food, period, in a month there.
Yeah.
And, I'm thinking the same thing. That's a lot of burger.
That's a lot of burgers. I was going to say in the South Wedge, you're technically in the Swillburg neighborhood. Is that correct?
Yeah, hence the name.
Yeah. Swillburger. Chris, for you, do you think the overall quality that you're seeing when you dine out has improved beyond the idea that these are what we used to hear is called veto items? In other words, you know, when McDonald's put a yogurt parfait with fruit or salads, they call them veto items because, you know, somebody in the group, I don't want to go to McDonald's because I want to eat healthy. Well, they've got a salad. It has no nutritional value, and it looks like it might kill you. But there it is. McDonald's lawyers don't call me. I'm just kidding. But these were called veto items because they weren't all that good, or they didn't get as much attention as Brian is giving, for example, to his veggie burger. But now, are you seeing better quality across the board, Chris?
Well, I think that's where something like this does come in, because it takes a deft hand to make a good veggie burger. Someone with the level of attention and care that Brian has, or someone like Orange Glory has, to make a veggie burger worth eating. I'd say having Impossible Burger 2.0, I've been sampling 1.0 most of the time, but having that Impossible Burger available, I'd say takes it beyond a step of the veto item that you were describing. Without the expertise of somebody who can develop one of these options, I think by and large, things are getting better for vegetarians and vegans, regardless of its Impossible Burger or Beyond or whatever else. The demand is bringing better options to the table. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a restaurant and tried to sample a vegetarian item, and all they have is a salad and a pasta, a salad and a pasta.
Yeah.
Not to say those can't be delicious, but the creativity and the level of intent with menus, as Mark was saying, the demand is there, and you need to be catering to the customers that really want vegetarian and vegan options, and they want flavor. They don't want to be pandered to. I know I don't.
Well, let's get some of the feedback from listeners on this, and I'm going to start with Kat in Rochester. Hi, Kat.
Hey, Evan. How's it going?
Very good. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know why this gets me very excited that you guys are talking about this. And hey, Brian, it's Kat from Kapucha. I love the beef burger that you guys have at Playhouse. It's awesome.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to kind of chime in and say that, like, I'm a big Beyond Burger girl. I love Beyond Burgers. I get them, like, every time at Wegmans. They also have them at Abundance. I've had the Impossible Burger once at the Genesee Brewhouse, and it was almost too real. And as a vegetarian of almost 7 years, I was a little bit, like, it was a little gnarly. Like, I was like, oh, no, this is, like, too close to home.
That's the Uncanny Valley thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The Beyond Burger is great, though. And I definitely don't know if it's, like, a novelty thing for me where it's like, oh, now I can have, like, something that resembles a burger, and that's why I love it. The other thing about Beyond Burgers, and I know you guys might talk about this in a minute, but they're pretty fatty. I think they have a lot of coconut oil in them, and they're made from pea protein. So one of my hang-ups with veggie burgers that are, like, truly veggie burgers and not, like, this meat imitation is that they're usually pretty carby. And so your idea of a burger where you're going to have it with a bun and that kind of thing, like, you're already, like, upping your carb intake, like, a lot. So when I go to Playhouse, I usually get it on top of a salad. So I kind of have a little bit of both. But yeah, I guess I just wanted to chime in there and say, like, pro Beyond Burger from a vegetarian, and veggie burgers, you know, maybe a little bit high on the carb for, you know, because usually starchy vegetables that they're using to make it. So that's my little comment.
All right, Kat, thank you. And so let me do this here. With Kat kind of pointing out, she kind of puts it on a salad. She likes Beyond better. You offer at ADW Beyond.
Yes.
Is it served to come out looking like a burger?
Yeah.
So if I was just walking in and somebody walked by me serving it, I'd say, oh, that person ordered a burger.
Absolutely. It looks more like a slider more than anything.
Okay.
And actually, I just got our menu pulled up here. So it's served with special sauce, lettuce. We got a vegan cheese. Pickles and onion, and it's all served on a toasted Kaiser bun.
Okay, so it's about roughly the size of more of a slider than
a huge
burger?
Yes, exactly.
And one thing that I don't know, you know, Mark, is because you've served the Impossible and now you serve Beyond, I don't know if you are selling meat burgers next to an Impossible. Is Impossible more expensive? I mean, is it more of a higher cost for you to get those things in right now?
So, first of all, we don't serve burgers, so we actually...
So you can't compare that.
Yeah,
really
can't compare the two. But our Impossible Burger, you know, with a side and all that, that's going to run somewhere in the neighborhood of $12 to $14, so...
Okay. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's what you pay for a lot of burgers these days. Go ahead, Brian.
So, first, to Kat's point, when I cook that Beyond Burger at home, one of the things I'll mention and agree with is that the fat content was actually really nice in that Beyond Meat patty. You just popped it right on the grill. You didn't put any oil on it. And that really helped lead to, like, while eating it, the mouthfeel of tasting the burger was, it kind of did have a good beef mimicry. But that said, the research I showed said that even when Burger King carries the Impossible, which they do in some of their locations and they're trying to get to by 2020, all of them or something like that, they're going to be charging at least a dollar more for the Impossible Burger than for the Impossible Whopper versus a regular Whopper.
Interesting. So, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, because right now the wholesale cost of Impossible 2.0, which is what the shortage is of right now, is definitely higher than, I'd say, commodity beef, and definitely compares to a higher grade of beef. And going back to what Brian said, I don't know, a few minutes ago, the flavor does compare to, I'd say, commodity beef instead of like a local product, like something like McCann's has or another local grass-fed beef. I'd say it compares more to that commercial style. So at this point, you are paying more for that product, I'd say, per taste, I guess, is the way I'd say it as an engineer.
Okay. Well, I've got a ton of feedback from people who have had this, which is we're enjoying. We've only got Chris Lindstrom for a couple other minutes here. And I want to ask you, Chris, before I get back to our phones and emails, why you think most people are going in this direction? I mean, you enjoy it because you enjoy food of all kinds. And I know you want to just sort of explore in a lot of different directions. But when you're out in a group, do you think more people are doing it because we're seeing more veganism and more vegetarianism? Is there a concern about animal agriculture and those kinds of things? I mean, what do you think is driving this, Chris?
I'd say it's a combination. I think the interest in vegetarian and veganism is definitely growing. And I think people want to dabble in it, even if they're not going all the way. I can say for myself that part of my decision to try and go more vegetarian and vegan is somewhat of an ethics decision, somewhat of a health decision. As Brian said, these burgers are relatively fatty. These are not health food. They are still burger-esque. So people may perceive health values to them without necessarily having proof one way or the other.
Yeah.
I think there's, like I said, there's a perception that vegan and vegetarianism is healthier. I can say for me, it tends to make me feel better. And I can say for a lot of people that this could be that entry point to say, I don't have to give up that flavor of beef necessarily and still stick to that vegetarian and vegan style of eating and, you know, still have that indulgence every so often as well.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. And as I've talked about, whether it's Rob, our engineer, or others, we've talked about the fact that you can go vegan and still eat a lot of junk food. There are Oreo vegans out there.
Yeah, right, right.
You know? and so there's, and I have heard from dietitians and medical practitioners before the show who just cautioned me not to oversell this as a much healthier option than a regular meat burger. So
Absolutely.
Whatever you find out there, if it's impossible or beyond, don't just assume it's automatically better than a meat burger, whereas a veggie burger probably, I mean, it must be. Your veggie burger, what's in a veggie burger?
There's little more than beets, black beans, brown rice. There's some raisins, some salt, vinegar, and rice flour.
Okay, so you can see why. Now, here's some feedback that I think is really interesting here. Tim says, as a vegetarian, I'm not looking for something that tastes or resembles beef. From what I found, the black bean burger concept is my favorite, but it sounds like I need to try the one at the Playhouse. That sounds awesome. I wish people would just stop trying to make veggie burgers taste like beef. Make veggies taste as good as a burger, and I'm in. That's from Tim. CT says, my vegetarian partner and our good vegetarian friend will not eat the Impossible Burger as it is too close and real, too close in texture and taste to meat. So some people want it to be super close. Others say that's too close and that's kind of getting weird. I feel like I'm looking at a mannequin at a store and I'm not comfortable with that. Your clientele at ADW, you said, ate it up. It moved very quickly.
The Impossible, absolutely.
The Impossible.
Yeah, and it runs the gamut. It runs the spectrum. You know, some people are doing it because they just, even if it's not fewer calories, they just don't want to spend 3 days digesting a burger, you know, as opposed to something that's more of a vegetable-based product. So some people are doing it for that. Some people are doing it for ethical reasons. It runs the gamut.
So, Chris, as we get ready to let you go here, what do you make of this trend? I mean, I suspect it's here to stay, especially if the Burger Kings of the world are going to have Impossible Whoppers and everything by 2020. They're claiming that they'll be able to have that and not run out of stock here. So I do suspect that this is here to stay, but what do you make of the trend in terms of quality and availability?
So, one, I know there was an article that came out yesterday that said the shortage was on its way out, that they were starting to supply more stores. I'm not saying it's gotten to Rochester quite yet, but there was an article saying that they're working on the supply. I think the demand is here. I think people for a long time have been sort of, I don't know the term desperate, but they've been looking for those options. I know for myself that when it is more widely available, I'll be going for those options, as well as buying from quality vegetarian burgers like stuff that Brian makes and other places around town. I think for me, it makes it a lot easier to maintain that effort and feel like you're keeping your momentum going with your decision, because it's always challenging. I love meat. So it gives me that feeling that I'm going after it. I can say I think it's going to keep on being more popular, and especially as it gets into chains like White Castle and Burger King. I mean, this is going to be ubiquitous. It's going everywhere.
Thanks for the time, as always, sir. We're going to hear you, as always, on Food About Town. Chris is the founder and host of the podcast Food About Town. Good travels. We'll see you back in Rochester, Chris.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
And here, let me go ahead and read a couple of points that producer Megan Mack grabbed for us on the healthy side, because I don't want to claim that, you know, that they're equal, the Impossible Burger or the Beyond Burger. According to health experts, they might still be slightly better. It's just not that they're a veggie burger. So let me go ahead and read a couple of different sources there. CNBC reports that many dietitians say meatless burgers have roughly the same amount of sodium and saturated fat as beef burgers. Some of it's depending on the size. And as you heard Mark Seawick say, they often come out more like a slider at ADW if you're getting the Beyond. But dietitians warn that these meatless burgers could have a health halo around them, so people will eat more of them. So maybe you go to ADW and go, well, that Beyond was pretty good. It's roughly the size of a slider and it's better for me than a burger, so I'm going to get two of them. And then now all of a sudden you don't have the benefit. One dietitian said the processed soy in some meatless burgers can be controversial because it strips out some of the key nutrients found in traditional soy foods like tofu, and it can contain unhealthy compounds. The Impossible Burger uses, and I'm going to turn to producer Megan Mack, is the word heme? H-E-M-E? What is that? Is that it, Brian?
I watched a video on that last night. I could not tell you what it is, but my base understanding is heme is... Yeah,
it's pronounced heme.
It's pronounced heme. It's
I found. It was heme, but that's just.
I watched the Impossible Burgers promotional
there
video.
We go.
It was very well produced, and it's some type of protein or a molecule found in meat.
Okay, so here it is. I'm reading this so that you know.
Okay.
So everybody knows that I'm not actually
yes.
Aware of this.
Hit it with
it's
it.
It's called soy legamoglobin. They took the DNA from
delicious.
Soy plants. Yeah, delicious. They took the DNA from soy plants and inserted them genetically into genetically engineered engineered yeast. And then they ferment the yeast in very much the same way that you would ferment a Belgian beer. But instead of producing alcohol, the yeast multiplies and produces a lot of heme.
Heme, okay. Heme. And heme is what's supposed to give it some of that juiciness, some of that meatiness.
You know, Evan, I'm sorry to interrupt. We would actually be enjoying some of that that juiciness, some of that meatiness, but your security downstairs isn't allowing my employees to bring the Beyond Burgers up here.
You brought a Beyond?
And there's nobody here before. There is nobody, according to the woman at the front desk, there's nobody in the entire building who can walk these burgers up to us right now.
Is that Xenia? Xenia is ruthless. I'll tell you what, Xenia is just a ruthless person.
So here's my concern. You know, as you experienced yesterday, you know, unless you're eating these things relatively quickly, you know, I mean, if they're sitting around for 15 or 20 minutes, it's not going to taste all that great. So, I mean, this may be a failed experiment. Be gentle, be kind, if you would.
All right, so Dave writes to us on Twitter and says, heme is actually a protein in blood that has iron at its center. There are plant equivalents, and Impossible Burger is using a version of that. The iron is what gives meat and blood and the Impossible Burger a kind of metallic taste there. So that similarity does come from the heme. Finishing up on what's in the Impossible Burger, there is some soy protein concentrate. Beyond, if you're picking up Beyond, whether you're at Lori's Natural Foods or Wegmans, or if you buy Beyond Burger at ADW or others who are serving it, the Beyond does not contain soy. Instead, it uses pea protein isolate for its primary protein source. And if the Beyond has a little bit less of a burger taste, it probably is because it doesn't have
exactly. I heme. Agree. Yeah, yeah.
It's all about the heme. And the New Republic reports that that Beyond Meat and the Impossible Burger do technically, if you look at the overall nutritional profiles, they're better than beef because they sort of ounce for ounce, less calories, more protein, less fat. Compared to a 4-ounce beef burger with 20% fat content, a Beyond Burger has 20 fewer calories, 3 fewer grams of fat, 1 more gram of protein. An Impossible Burger has 50 fewer calories, 8 fewer grams of fat, and the same amount of protein. Both plant-based burgers have no cholesterol compared to 80 milligrams in a beef burger, and both have more fiber. So that's all good, but nutritionists and dietitians will warn you, these are processed foods. And recently, the National Institutes of Health released a study showing that America's obesity epidemic is driven primarily by ultra-processed foods. So, better than a burger, not as good as a veggie burger, if you're going with an Impossible Burger or a Beyond. Much more of your feedback. You want to call the program? Have you had one? Are you out there looking for them? 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free. 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. 263-9994. I'm laughing because I've been told that the Beyond Burger is now here.
Oh, there we go. I see.
And I don't know.
Bag.
I can't do a taste test on the air. You know, like it's kind of weird. I don't want, you know, but maybe we will because everything I've had from ADW I've liked.
Well, so there we go. Thank you.
Mark is here from ADW. Brian Van Etten is the owner of the Playhouse and Swill Burger in the Swillburg neighborhood of Rochester. And we'll take more of your feedback and we'll see as we talk meatless meat on the Summer of Food on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, we sit down with members of the University of Rochester East High School Partnership to discuss the partnership's 3-year progress report. Back in 2015, New York State labeled East an out-of-time school. It would have closed, but a team at the university stepped in. We'll hear from members of the team and staff at East who will discuss the challenges they faced and the improvements they say they have made. That's Friday. All right, welcome back to the Summer of Food on Connections. I'm just going to say this. In the break, I tried the Beyond Burger from ADW. It's in the studio now. And we're probably not supposed to do this, and Xenia, I do apologize. It's good. I like it. I mean, I'm not just saying this because Mark's here, though I would lie to you because I like you, and I wouldn't want to hurt your feelings.
There we go.
But I'm not lying. It's really good. And Brian, you tasted it too during the break?
Yeah, I think it's very well done. That said, it's not a beef burger, and I can tell you that within an instant.
Of course.
So I'm still curious what the, you know, like what the demographic, you know,
like
why people are really steering this way. You know, I know we've talked about a handful of reasons, but is this a trend or is it really here to stay?
If it were like way, way better health-wise for you, I could see that. I could see maybe on the climate side. I mean, animal agriculture is something that a lot of people are talking about. And so that as a motivator, I think, is going to get more powerful. And that makes sense to me. But yeah, I think I'm wondering a little bit why we don't just see more thoughtful veggie burgers. And when I say thoughtful, and I'm very curious to get your take on this, Brian, what I mean is I've seen plenty of black bean burgers or veggie burgers that are just not appealing. I've ordered them. I'm not going to name names of local establishments, but I will say, you know, I'm curious to know how they're prepared, how good they are, how good they taste. And I've had a lot that just seem like they're afterthoughts to whoever's preparing the menu.
And I think that's probably because they are afterthoughts to whoever's preparing the menu. I've had the luxury of working in vegetarian kitchens for many, many years, and I've been firsthand witness to the rise of vegetarianism. I mean, it's been around forever, but it is growing and growing and growing. So I believe that there's more mindful chefs and restaurant owners who are focusing on this type of thing. That said, it takes a lot of work, and it took a lot of work to develop it, but even to prepare it, you know, with beef, you can often just patty it up and there you go. Your prep work is done. But with a veggie burger, you're cooking multiple elements, mixing it, drying them out, adding more flavorings, adding more to your food cost very often, and then having to make sure the seasoning is consistent and, you know, palatable to your average diner. So it's not an easy thing to do, which is why you've had so many lackluster veggie burgers.
You want to add to that? What do you think of veggie burgers? Would you go in that direction on your menu in the future, perhaps?
I think the direction we're probably going to be headed is once the Impossible Burger becomes
you're
available,
get it back.
We'll probably go the route of the Impossible Burger. But you know, as you're talking, I mean, I'm just thinking about myself. If I'm at a restaurant, if I'm going to your place and I see a veggie burger option or a hamburger option, I'm just going to gravitate toward the veggie option.
Yeah.
Oh, you are.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm not a vegetarian. But I eat out all the time, and I'm constantly eating. And, you know, if I can shave 50 calories off here, or, you know, 75 there, and just, and then wake up the next morning and work out a little more easily and a little more quickly because I'm still not digesting yesterday's meal.
Yeah, you feel a little better?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Before I grab a phone call, what's the bonding agent that holds your patty together? Is that the right term?
Rice flour, I guess.
Rice flour.
Yeah, so we cook all these elements individually, and then we try to dry them out as much as possible, getting as much water from the beets, the black beans, the brown rice. When they're all cooked, we dry them, we squeeze them, we get all the water content out as much as possible because that water is a pretty lackluster flavoring. So instead, we add a little apple cider vinegar, a little chipotle and adobo, and then use rice flour to kind of seal it all up together.
All right. So in a moment, after I take Noelle's call here, I will return to the subject of if we're trying to make veggie burgers at home, how to kind of do that thoughtfully too. Because look, this is grilling season. People would love to do it. And Brian does this at a very high level at Swill Burger. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But here's Noelle on the phone next. Go ahead, Noelle.
Hey there. We are a vegan household, but when I have the granddaughters over, I have to make peace between the two of them. One is a vegetarian, the other is a carnivore, and the Beyond Meat burger or the Impossible Patty keeps peace between the two of them, and we're able to share a meal together. I would say that both burgers are considered transition foods by the pietistic vegans and are looked down upon as, you know.
Oh, we lost you, Noelle. We lost you. Well, look, thank you for the call. I will say this, Noelle. I've never known a vegan to look down on anyone.
Yeah. I'm just looking at your face.
Actually, because that was a joke, this is how comfortable I am joking about it. Most vegans I know are comfortable joking about it because they've got strong beliefs. And they have strong beliefs for a reason. And frankly, their beliefs are not just about health. Their beliefs are about environment. That matters too. Dave writes to us to say that the goal for many people was to get people for whom flavor trumps the horrific damage done by animal agriculture to the environment when it comes to creating the Impossible Burger or Beyond Meat. The goal is to lure meat eaters away from meat and to make it, as soon as it can, much cheaper than meat. It very clearly does use wildly fewer resources than meat. And so what Dave is saying is this is just another sort of ploy to try to get people to consume less animal agriculture. And so, vegans, I love you. And a lot of what I cook at home now is vegan. I mean, I'm not fully vegan, but and I understand you're either vegan or you're not, but I've moved in that direction. Most of what I prepare at home would be in that category now. And I feel better about a lot of things. So But yeah, I know it's one or the other. But let's get someone who is a vegan. That's Andrew on the line next in Rochester. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hi, another great show. I'm vegan, and I've been vegan for 18 years, and I became vegan strictly for cruelty reasons. Everything I gave up, I love. Chicken wings, burgers, you name it. I'm very excited about the Impossible Burger, Beyond Burger. I've had them both a bunch of times. I was out in California about a month ago. I went to a Carl's Jr., had a Beyond Burger. It was delicious. I've had Impossible Burger around Rochester. But like I was saying, the reasons, I as a vegan, I do like it to taste like what I remember. Some vegans don't like that. But saying that, the cruelty's through the roof. There's slaughterhouses in California that slaughter 20,000 cows in a day. You can transport an animal up to 3 days without food and water. And just environmental, we talk about climate change on this show a lot, and I would say animal agriculture has left off the show quite a bit, and it's right up there with energy and other things. But I know plant-based food like Beyond Impossible, they use 90% less water. They use only 4% of what raising beef for animals or beef for consumption. And 92% less pollution. There's no sewers for the billions of animals we slaughter every year. All goes into our waterways. But great show. I love Slow Burger. I go there quite a bit. And it's a great topic, and thanks for doing it.
Yeah, Andrew, thank you for the phone call. So if you're just joining us, we're talking about all the things Andrew is just talking about why he seeks out the Impossible Burger or the Beyond Meat options. And we're seeing a lot more of this, so much so that, as I mentioned earlier, producer Megan Mack piling up the research on these companies just can't keep up with the demand, especially the Impossible Burger. That's why ADW had it for, I think Mark Siebert
said,
a week and a half.
Yeah, that's it.
And then it was gone. If you happen to see it at a restaurant this weekend in Rochester, the likelihood, and I can't speak for all the restaurants, is that they won't have it for that much longer, just for a little while the supply catches up to the national demand for this. So we're talking about if it's any good. Dave on Twitter says, the thoughtful veggie burger you're looking for is at Hetty's Cafe at the Rochester Public Market. Hmm. Try the Philly Cheesesteak Burger. Distilleries is great. It's a more traditional burger presentation. If you want a non-fake meat veggie burger, you can't beat the field roast grain meat. So there are some options. Kelsey tells us on Twitter, thanks for talking about vegetarian and vegan burgers and all of their forms. Eat your veggies, nerds. That's what Kelsey says. Kim says, one claim that all vegan burgers can make, that no meat burgers can make, is that they are cholesterol-free, and vegan burgers might also contain fiber. That is true. There's no question about that. And Michael says, I'm vegan. I've had Beyond Beef and the Impossible Burgers. They are good, but I've wondered about the ingredients. I've had Brian's veggie at the Playhouse and the chickpea ones that he did when he was at the Owl House, and I've decided they are the best for me. So Owl House, I'm sure. I didn't even bring up Owl House, but they've always done interesting stuff, and I know you've had a relationship with them.
Yeah, we like with the Playhouse and Swill Burger opening up with a veggie burger being a prime component of our menu. The Owl House opened. I helped open the kitchen there. That was, 8 years ago or so. And one of the prime goals was to have, you know, close to a 50-50 menu of vegetarian, vegan, accessible foods. And I worked a lot with Andrea Peros, who now owns the Red Fern, who does a killer job at all vegan and vegetarian foods. So, and they've continued over at Owl House with a trend of not forgetting about the vegetarians and the vegans.
Well, it's certainly ahead of the curve. I mean, you know, Evan is talking about, you know, how increasingly over the course of the past few years, Owl House has been doing this for, you know, a decade.
Yeah, right.
So.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think Owl House has always been sort of the interesting, thoughtful, wide range of options.
Absolutely.
You know, not just, as Chris Lidstrom said earlier this hour, a pasta and salad,
right.
You know, for people who don't want meat.
And it's always delicious. It's, you know, whatever you get there, it's always great.
Andrew writes to say, so do these Impossible Burgers and Beyond Burgers have non-burger capabilities, such as lasagna and or chili? I would think so, yeah. I think that's what we...
They even package them differently, you know. They do package...
Meatballs and all sorts of things.
There's all sorts of different packaging and different ways to sell them.
So it sounds like the answer to that is yes, Andrew. Thanks for that. And then another listener wants to know, how come you're only talking about meat? What about Beyond Chicken? Okay, so I haven't thought about this. Is there... I have been focused on the burger. Is there a Beyond
I'm sorry. I'm just pulling up the Impossible Burgers.
Or Beyond Pork? Or
We'll get back to that in a second, but I'm just looking here. They've got chili cheese fries. They've got breakfast sandwiches. These are all recipes. Yeah, pizzas with their product on the top. Yeah, all sorts of different things. So they're definitely pushing the envelope in terms of what is they want their consumers to.
Yeah, I'm sure the consistency, there's probably a lot you could do with it. It's like just getting, you know, ground beef at the store. You can do a lot of different things with it.
Yeah. Tacos. Here's a recipe for tacos. There we go.
But producer Megan Mack, who knows everything, tells me that Tyson is launching meatless chicken this summer. Do we have two skeptics in the room, or are you interested? Are you interested in meatless chicken?
You know what?
I guess
I'll give it a try. I mean, like, you know, do I hold out a lot of hope? No. But then again, you know, I'm eating these burgers, these Impossible and Beyond burgers, which I would have never thought I would enjoy. So, yeah, chicken, why not? We'll give it a whirl.
What do you think?
Like Chris Lindstrom, there's nothing I won't eat. There's nothing that really grosses me out or makes me a skeptic. If it tastes good, I would love for Tyson's meatless chicken to overtake Tyson's commodity chicken, you know?
Absolutely.
And same goes for the beef.
No, you know,
there's a lot of poor practices in Tyson's industry.
No question.
So if they produce a product that tastes good, and, you know, to me, the thing is, it doesn't have to be the same. You know, I'm not necessarily looking for a meatless chicken, but if it's better or as good or even close, you know, like, I'd be happy for Tyson to go under.
That's been one of the interesting parts of the conversation this hour for me, is hearing that this is kind of, as Noel said, kind of a gateway off of meat. Or as Dave, who sent the email, said, you know, this is getting people who want meat to move away from it by trying to approximate it at first, and then maybe you introduce them to a veggie burger at Swill Burger or something else, you know, because there's good reasons to do that. And one of the shows that got the most feedback in the last 5 years on this program was about torturing chickens. Was about the what happens to the chickens that we eat. And we based it on a column that Nicholas Kristof wrote for the New York Times. I think it was just called Torturing the Chickens We Eat. It's still worth reading. And, you know, if I remember correctly, I'm not sure it was Tyson, one of the other big Purdue, maybe. I don't want to, again, Purdue and, yes, so lawyers, don't call me. This is a live program. But producer Megan Mack reminding me, yes. And so to the point that Brian's raising there, if Tyson or Purdue or anybody else is going to go largely to faux chicken. Well, that means actual chickens are being spared a lot of what they'd have to go through, and the impacts on the environment and the impacts on health, I would hope. CT says, did you know that almost everywhere you can get chicken wings in the Albany, New York area, you can get seitan vegetarian chicken wings? Why can't we get them around here?
Actually,
I don't know.
You can. Stop by ADW. We've got
what?
We take.
Why didn't you tell me this?
No, we've got a real, and it's actually one of my favorite. So they're called meatless buffalo wings. They're beer battered, cremini mushrooms tossed with Frank's Red Hot sauce. There's a creamy gorgonzola, celery sticks, the whole schmear. And it's actually it's probably one of my favorite things on the menu because it is just it's mushrooms just lathered in Frank's Red Hot sauce, and it's not meant to, you know, taste like chicken. It's not meant to taste like a chicken wing, but boy, is it good.
Okay, yeah. See, there you go. So this is a live radio show. You could have told me that at any point. You almost lost the hour and you missed a chance to tell us that. So a couple other comments here before we're going to get back to kind of cooking veggie burgers, which I really kind of want to get some insight on. Phil says Wegmans Don't Be Chicken is pretty good. Have not had that. And Megan Mack sends me another note on Tyson. The new meatless chicken nuggets from Tyson will launch under a new brand. It's going to be called Raised and Rooted. The nuggets are made from pea protein, egg white, and flaxseed and bamboo fiber, and are slated to hit shelves later this summer. Bamboo fiber, as Homer Simpson always said. You know, it's just a classic American. But no, hey, if it's good, as Mark and Brian have said, try it, and if it's good, it's good. Maybe it will be good.
Well, I mean, one of the things we haven't talked about, I mean, one of the reasons I would actually try that is the antibiotics that we're consuming when we are eating a traditional burger or when we're having a grilled a piece of chicken. Just getting those out of our systems, you know, that's a benefit in and of itself.
The call is coming from inside the house. I see WXXI is calling us here. Wow. But let me turn our attention back to cooking veggie burgers, because if someone's grilling this weekend, and look, it's going to be over 100 with the heat index, but God bless you if you are. Wherever you are, if you're grilling this summer and you want to try to cook a veggie burger yourself, I'm sure you can find different options in grocery stores, et cetera. But if you're constructing from scratch, Tell me again the ingredients you're making at Swill Burger for your veggie burger.
Sure. So at Swill, it's almost equal parts in thirds, and that's a third beets that have been cooked, shredded, squeezed, and basically turned as much into a pulp to get as much water out content out as possible. Black beans, which are cooked, rinsed, then dried on a griddle. You could put these in the oven to kind of dry them off. They'll kind of turn ashen gray, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and then you know they're dry enough. And then brown rice, which is cooked and just spread out in a sheet pan. So that's three main ingredients. And
the beets sound like they'd be the most cumbersome to do at home.
Yeah, probably. Definitely.
So
yeah,
what would you substitute for the beets?
Carrots.
Okay.
Yeah, carrots, roasted carrots, yep. And try to squeeze out as much moisture as possible. But a lot of it is just about texture. And cooking a veggie burger on a grill, a homemade one, is always difficult. It's really difficult because the consistency of the veggie burger is the key. And it's, you know, we still struggle with it because, you know, from one week to another at Swill Burger, the beets will be different or the weights on certain things will be different. So, basically, just first, you cook the ingredients, mix them, try to get the best flavor out of them. Just like when you make a sausage, if you're making a real sausage, the chef always cooks a little bit and tries it. Cooks it on a grill, yep. Or in a saute pan, at least tries it. Make sure the seasoning is there. But, you know, like making a veggie burger from scratch, it's an endeavor. And very often I'll recommend people against it because I think there's just as good varieties you can find at different grocery stores.
Well, I mean, okay. just go to Wegmans. They've got those black bean burgers. They're delicious. Right. Yeah, they're really.
There's a lot of varieties.
Pan fry those for a few minutes. Yeah, right. they're fantastic.
Right. Easier in a pan, though.
I would always do it in a cast iron skillet. Yeah, that's the way I do it at home. Yep. I would not put one on a grill, especially a homemade version. Sometimes you get the right veggie burger. You know, back in the day when Boca Burger first got going, mm-hmm. I don't know all the ingredients to a Boca Burger, but that's a burger patty that'll stand up on a grill. I don't know that they're necessarily a veggie burger because I think they're made with not very many vegetables, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I will cop to having tried to grill a veggie burger and watch parts of it sort of kind of sink right through. Yeah.
Yep.
The grate.
That's it.
Yeah. Dan in Brighton, one more phone call. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, this is a very good show. It really is a great show. And my point is, I've been vegan or whole food plant-based for 3 years now. But people don't realize in Rochester, because it is so conservative, how big of a vegetarian and vegan community there is in Rochester, and it's growing all the time. I think Mark just said that a few times, was just the production or the amount that they're selling at his restaurant. I haven't been to Swillburg yet, but I do want to get over there and try their burger from just what I'm hearing here. But I did it for health reasons, and there's many, many good health reasons for doing something like this, whether you go full-time or part-time. And I realize this isn't the discussion for this show, but people are going to be doing it more and more because of health reasons. And also, big business is starting. Big players are turning to vegetarian and vegan products. So that should tell us all something.
Yeah, that's a great point. Tyson coming after it. You know, they're not going to do it if there's not money in it.
Burger King.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyways, great show, and I hope you do more things like this.
Yeah, Dan, thank you very much. Hey, the Summer of Food is every Thursday at 1 p.m. on Connections, and we always enjoy these kinds of conversations. So let's close the show on that theme, and I want to ask both of our guests that question, because there's always different trends that come up in food and agriculture. Is this something that it has more permanence, Brian Vanette?
The vegetarian diet in general is not going to stop. It's going to grow and keep gathering people along the way. It's snowballing down the hill. And if this is one item that community wants to eat, I fully support that.
Yeah, I think that's well said. So you'll be ready for it at Playhouse.
You know, the more I think about this, you know, it's something that's constantly, it's been talked about between the chefs at the restaurant and myself, you know, do we want to offer something like this? And hearing Mark talk about it and seeing the results, you know, it may be something we delve into in the future, but that veggie burger is not going anywhere.
That veggie burger. Everybody loves that veggie burger. Do you think there's some permanence here?
Absolutely. No two ways about it. I think that we've got a population that is living longer. I think there's more emphasis on exercise, on clean and healthy eating. It's just not going to stop. And it's sort of interesting. You had said something earlier in the show, Evan, you know, about vegans in particular being very, very vocal. One of the reasons we've got so many vegan and vegetarian options right now is that the number of people who are clamoring for this it was, you know, there were a number of people, but they were so persistent and they were so loud. Not in any way that was disrespectful. And I think that's just going to continue to grow to a larger population.
Well, you can get Beyond Burger at ADW, and as soon as Mark and the team can get Impossible Burger, they'll get it back. You'll find the Impossible Burger here and there around Rochester, but like ADW had, we talked to, you know, Genesee Brew House and a number of others, and they had it for like a week. That's the supply right now. That'll change eventually. Mark Seawick from ADW, see you there. Thank you for being here, Mark. Always nice having
you. Great seeing you, Evan.
And always great having the insights of Brian Van Etten, one of the really great food minds in Rochester, owner of the Playhouse and Swillburger. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Our thanks to Josephine volunteering and Rob engineering. You hungry? Megan Mack, producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a great afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.